My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. I recently read an article written by someone who used to be in human resources. In it, he wrote about attending the funeral of a coworker, someone he really didn't know very well. He saw many people attending the funeral, but few going up to the widow and offering their condolences. When pressed, they admitted they didn't know what to say, they didn't know what to do, and they worried somehow that they would make it worse. Or how about the blog written by a housewife who realized that the busyness that this season holds for her, in trying to do everything perfectly and right, what with all the present buying, cookie making, house cleaning, and Christmas decorating, that by the time the holidays finally rolled around, she was too exhausted and too cranky to even enjoy Christmas. I see people looking at one another, relating. Or the nurse who came home from a family celebration on Christmas Eve a few years ago, only to find her home and everything in it going up in flames. As she and her family stood and watched everything, including their home and all that was in it, burn to the ground. Frustrated, she shared that she wanted to run into the house to grab anything she could, to keep those things she'd valued most from going up in smoke. But the firefighters needed to keep her away as they battled the blaze. Desperation and a need to do something were soon replaced with feelings of numbness and shock. Though all these stories are from real life, from the lyrics of the Harry Chapin song to the human resources manager, from the busy mother to the nurse, they all refer to very different human experiences, and yet in reflection, they all speak of one gift that was the most precious. The gift of someone's presence, not the kind you wrap and you put a pretty bow on top, but our very being. Seems The Cats in the Cradle was based upon a poem written by Harry Chapin's wife about the lack of relationship her first husband had with their son. Harry would share later that as a father himself, the lyrics scared him to death. Ex-human resources manager Randy Kilgore concluded on the website Our Daily Bread that in time of distress, people will not remember what you said, but they will remember that you were there providing comfort. He goes on, familiar faces offer strength beyond description. They provide comfort for the deep feelings of loneliness settling in from the loss. This gift of presence is one we're all capable of offering, even if we're tongue-tied or uncomfortable. Martha and Mary were surrounded by friends and mourners who comforted them when their brother Lazarus died. Then the one they most longed to see, Jesus, came and simply wept with them. The people responded, "See how he loved them." The busy mother eventually realized that in trying to be perfect, she had missed the greatest gift she could offer, the gift of presence. Time spent with her children playing favorite games, having cousins over to bake cookies, or meeting somewhere for karaoke or bowling or putt-putt golf. Presence was more memorable than anything she could have wrapped with a bow on top. The nurse whose home burned to the ground wrote of the power of community, of finding ourselves surrounded by many family and friends. God's loving presence was greatly manifested through the individuals he sent to minister to us on that night and the days that followed. There was nothing that anyone could do to replace what was lost. No one was able to bring back our home, our belongings, or our dog. But there was a powerful gift provided in their quiet presence. When we were too numb to pray, we knew others were praying on our behalf. It brought great comfort to me and my family to know that we were not alone. Trappist monk Henri Nouwen once said, Simply being with someone is difficult because it asks of us that we share in the other's vulnerability, enter with him or her into the experience of weakness and powerlessness, become part of the uncertainty, and give up control and self-determination. There is a name for this kind of life-giving presence, and you've heard it a couple times this morning in our readings, and that word is Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. God shares in our vulnerability when God became fully human through the birth of Jesus. A newborn taking his first cries in a stranger's barn, laying in a rough-hewn manger, surrounded by a bunch of livestock and shepherds who smelled like, well, manure and sheep. It's hard to imagine a more vulnerable setting for the Son of God to become the Son of Man in than that. God comes down to earth as Emmanuel so that we might come to see that God's compassionate, quietly loving presence is always with us. Rather than learning how to be absent by worshiping an absent God, like the Father in Chapin's song, God comes down in human form so that we might learn how to model our lives on that of Jesus. We know how to love because we are loved. We know how to forgive because we are forgiven. Jesus comes down to us as a vulnerable newborn so that we might also see how important we are to God. So important that God will give up power and strength and dominion, all of which God could have embodied. Instead, God is born as a frail and helpless newborn baby who needs others to feed him, to bathe him, and to change his nappies. Dr. Joyce Brothers once said, "Love comes when you dare to reveal yourself fully, when you dare to be vulnerable." In daring to take on the vulnerability of a newborn, God reveals God's deep need to be in relationship with you and with me. So my hope for you is, may the real presence of God be yours this Christmas season, and may all God's people say, amen.